Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thanks, everybody.
The Bear.
You're listening to the best of the Bears.
He's in for the touchdown. Chicago Bears have taken the lead.
A weekly mix of 670 The Score's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Come on. Does it tell you about Caleb that he's here leading those guys out there?
Yeah, I did. He's committed to learning the offense. We're not where we need to be yet as a team, and he understands that. And any chance he gets to get a few more full speed reps, it sounds like he wants them.
That was Ben Johnson talking about Caleb Williams attending the Young Ones OTAs at Hallis Hall. This is Rahimi and Harris on The Score.
Is Young Ones like Hot Ones? Is that?
It's Young Ones is too. I can't say that. That's reserved for kids and DeMar DeRozan talking about the younger players on the Bulls when he was here. Those were his youngins.
I mean, these are young players. These are a bunch of rookies and a bunch of special team guys and some other guys who just want to make an impression.
That is true. But it's also a quarterback who wants to get reps, and he's in his second season.
Yes.
So he's a young one. But I appreciate that he is there. And I think that is the most important piece of the Bears OTAs for me so far. Ben Johnson was probably the most informative yesterday when it came to what he is observing. We got a lot of interesting comments from some of the players, and we'll bring those up in a little bit on this segment. But when it came to Ben Johnson just speaking about not just that, what we heard, understanding that we're not there yet offensively, taking us through the install, I think is a big piece of this that is really important. So let's listen to what Ben Johnson had to say about the growth that he's seen from Caleb Williams during this mini camp and OTA period.
We've loaded them up. We've tried a number of different things, long play calls, multiple plays at the line. We've dabbled here, tempo. We've dabbled here, there, and everywhere really throughout the springtime. And some comes a little bit more natural than others for them. But I do think we've seen them get better in really all facets. And so we'll have to sit down as a staff before we leave and when we come back, just to make sure we're honed in on what direction we want to go all together. But I feel pretty confident the things that he's put on tape that we can go ahead and get after a little bit.
What I heard there is I can work with this. But I think he knew that before he took the job. I think for Ben Johnson right now, I was really happy to hear him talk about the fact that his family's finally moving here. And that's going to get him to a different type of mode, if you will.
Yeah, he did talk about that. And he was asked that question. It wasn't like he brought it up on his own.
Right.
Patrick Finley asked about Ben Johnson's family, and he said he would appreciate having them here because he hasn't seen them for 4 months, is what he said.
And that's how you know that man's been locked in.
Oh, yeah. I'm not worried about him.
Oh, who are you worried about, Layla?
I think there's a bit of discourse when it comes to Luther Burden's injury and Ben Johnson's comments about it. I heard it, and when I heard Ben Johnson talk about it, I think it was more about him explaining what you miss if you can't play at this time of the year. But let's listen to it again, because again, we like to give people context and we have time to let them speak. So let's let him speak.
He misses a lot. I mean, anytime you're not out there, if you're in the training room when the rest of the guys are practicing, you're losing valuable time with your coaches, valuable reps with your teammates, the ability to build the trust that we're talking about. It's not just the coaching staff having trust in you doing the right thing over and over, but it's also your teammates. They got to be out there. They got to see you do it. They got to know that the guy right left of them, that they're going to do the right things and they're going to make the plays when called upon. So, I think it's for everybody, and it's a shame that he got dinged up and missed all that time, because for a young player, it's really where you get the most reps and you can get better in a hurry that way. So that's really for every player on this team.
I hate to repeat myself, but do you anticipate he'll be good for training camp?
He will, yeah.
So we hear that out of Ben Johnson, and I didn't necessarily think that was some sort of coded message to Luther Burden. I just thought it was him talking about the importance of learning what you can at this time of the year for rookies.
I don't think it was a coded message. I thought it was a pretty direct message, and that's something I have grown to appreciate about Ben Johnson here in the early going, the honeymoon phase, if you will, with him and the Bears, is that he's pretty direct. He says what he means, and he means what he says. He'll crack a joke here and there. He'll lighten the mood. He'll get serious when he needs to. The tone has been good throughout in terms of the appropriateness coming from the head coach, who's expected to do big things and do them quickly. And I think his point there is, if you're missing time, you're missing a chance to get better in a hurry. That's what I heard at the end of that particular answer from Ben Johnson.
Given what you and I have talked about, let's go back to the afternoon show talking to James Palmer, who does the podcast with Steve Wyche, Steve Smith, rather. Given that James Palmer has the podcast, Steve Smith talked about some of the criticisms of Luther Burden. You bring it up with his head coach, Eli Drinkwitz, at Missouri. We hear what Coach Drinkwitz had to say. But that not necessarily a work ethic issue, but that the aunt too might not be exactly where they wanted it to be. I think that that's something where change of scenery can help. I'm not too concerned about it right now. But that's the only reason I would give what Ben Johnson said any more meaning than what I heard yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't even think about the earlier comments from Steve Smith or Eli Drinkwitz, like his college coach, and his reaction to the Steve Smith comments about how, you know, that guy's got his own problems. He needs to be worried about other stuff. Talking about the former all-pro wide receiver in Steve Smith. I will say this. Going forward for Luther, they ain't a lot of ball to go around here. You've got other receivers, Roma Dunze, DJ Moore. You've got
Olamide Zaccheaus, who everybody says has impressed.
Yes, Zaccheaus has been good as a free agent pickup from the Commanders. Also, you've got not one, but two tight ends in Cole Kmet and now Colston Loveland, who will also be looking for rock.
And it certainly sounds like Loveland is going to be used over the middle of the field, similar to what he was used at Michigan. Also, envision Sam Laporta, because that's the comp that the team has made to him, so you have an idea there. You're right. That doesn't leave a lot of ball to go around, especially when you want to run the ball.
So my point is, in Ben Johnson's answer there, taking what Luther Burden, the third question was a topic, and expanding it out for everyone, he said, listen, if you're missing stuff right now, you are behind. It's hard to catch up going against the caliber of people that he's going to be going up against. And we think that he and Colston Loveland will be somewhat in the same boat. But I think because Colston Loveland is a first round pick and he's got a little bit more versatility, he will be prioritized.
If you ain't first, you're last.
That's what my man said.
Ricky Bobby.
But Ricky Bobby and them's.
Going back to who we both just said we trusted out of the Bears brain trust in the last segment.
Follow him to freedom.
I'm listening to Coach.
Listen, Ben Johnson, brought here for a reason, and he's been very clear. It might not be instant, but we're going to be better. And in order to be along with us when we are getting better, you've got to make the plays and know what's going on in training camp, practice leading up to. I expect them to have a better second half of the season and first half of the season. You just hope that Luther Bird in the third is there every step of the way.
Yeah, that is their hope. And these are the last days before they break for training camp where we can get some answers.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Herbie, what did Jason say about Anthony?
Condescending, what came to mind.
So yeah. on our show, we host, as you know, we host
it
show.
It had something to do with like condescending blackness too,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Condescending, sure. Voice of blackness.
That's what it was.
My I guess I'll call it my day job. Like, I'm the football guy here at the station.
So there's a pattern of condescending behavior out of you is what we're finding.
In all these years, we're still discovering new things, I suppose. You're learning more about me. I learned what a P1 was yesterday.
Yep.
It's about continuing to gather knowledge. That's a part of life.
Well, we are so into the synergy of this radio station and pacifying your needs, apparently, to be considered an expert here, mm-hmm. or top of the line,
right.
Expert at the score.
It's a lot of competition here at the station.
Yeah, right? Wow, man. Wow. He, by the way, he is Anthony Heron. Make no mistake about it. I am Mark Rohde. This is The Score, as we are in for the Spiegel and Holmes show today. There's a pattern. There's a pattern going on. Yesterday, we pacified his narcissism very simply by letting him let the record straight on things that we, the media, have gone overboard on, our hosts here at The Score.
Yes,
and
yes.
Yesterday, your answer to that question was, you guys are making way too big a deal out of Ben Johnson and all the yelling and all the discipline that he's handing out. So you condescended
to us. All the coaching. All this coaching. You guys are all excited about. Congratulations, yes. On the Bears coaches. coaching people. Yes, that is very exciting.
That was the condescending we got from Big Ant yesterday. And so since he is the Scores football guy, we're going to do rapid fire. Ask Anthony Heron about the Bears. Is there a player or an evaluation that you would like for Ant? We'll attempt to do this in some rapid fire sort of way. We'll see what happens. We did not rehearse this in the least. So one of you guys over there, whether it is Alex Kuhn or Chris Tannehill, go first and show me how the show works.
All right. So I'll start with someone who, you know, Ant has something in common with. I don't know if he's condescending or not, but Montez Sweat has also sacked Tom Brady. And Montez, though, only got, you know, 5.5 sacks last year. I know it's not all about the sacks, you know, but I know opposing, you know, defensive coordinators, they know they have to account for Montez Sweat, right? But I don't feel like he's a game wrecker. I know he had some injury issues that were nagging last year. He played in 16 games, but still the production was not there. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have cited some of the new additions next to him, you know, on that line that will help him out a little bit. But what do you make of his season last year? And, you know, I know you're not the one giving him the contract, but I feel like he hasn't lived up to it, at least as far as last year goes. How do you see him and his season shaping out, assuming he's healthy this year next to those new additions on the line?
I 100% agree with what you said about the contract, one that I wasn't the one who gave it to him, but that he at this point isn't fully living up to it. You think about that first year, that half season that he joined the Bears back in 2023, he looked like that guy between what he did in Washington, what he did here in Chicago, but that was peak Montez. That's not who he's been throughout the majority of his career. The guy he was in 2024, that's kind of who he's been. So I think in a similar fashion to the way I described DeAndre Swift, the Bears are hoping for a different guy, or seem to be hoping for a different guy than what Montez Sweat has been throughout the bulk of his career. Mm-hmm. He's an excellent football player, but if you're hoping for double-digit sacks, that's something he's done once in his entire career.
Yeah, that was it. That 1 year with the Bears.
Yep.
That's it.
That was combined between two different teams, led both of them in sacks. It was a historic year, but that was the outlier for Montez Sweat.
Yeah.
He's a really good football player who is not amongst the elite pass rushers in football.
Right. I mean, you go through his sacks, 7, 9, 5, 8, 6.5, 5.5. So you're right. So, but there is an expectation with the money that you paid him. Mr. Kuhn, did you have a question for the Scores football guy, Anthony Heron?
I do. And I want to stay on the defensive line, okay. Big Ant, and a guy that has, I'm not going to say burst onto the scene, but gotten better in his first two seasons, and that's Jervon Dexter. Mm. And a lot of questions as to how he's going to fit into Dennis Allen's defense. What do you think of Jervon Dexter?
Like his game a lot. And his stature, he's kind of reshaped his body a little bit over the offseason. Frankly, to the extent where some photos started to surface of him over the offseason, like shirtless or, you know, kind of having a minimal wardrobe on. And folks are like, man, is he switching positions? Is this guy turning into a linebacker or what? But no, he's still a hulking guy. I got to see him on draft night, hung out with him on set over there at Soldier Field when he stopped by to talk to myself and our guy Luke Kanellis. And he's just ready. And it's been good to hear some of his teammates commenting on his leadership enhancing. And I think that this role, assuming he's going to be a part of what's a deeper rotation up front, should be a good thing for him. You remember Roy Robertson Harris, looked like a guy that maybe that's your starting defensive tackle at some point here. But in diminished reps, you do get the opportunity to play with more energy, to become a playmaker and showcase that consistently. My hope for Jervon Dexter is that having a veteran presence in the room like Grady Jarrett enhances what he does in preparation, which it seems like he's preparing really well this offseason. But then also just being able to consistently play with energy because you've got a deeper group that he's rotating with up front.
You said that people were worried about him getting smaller.
Yeah, like right around draft time, I don't remember if it was Instagram or where on social media. It was a couple of shots of him like in like tank tops or something, just kind of out. He brought a number of his teammates, you probably know this, brought them down to Florida, worked with a guy named Brandon Johnson, who's become one of the top pass rush skills coaches out there. He's worked with college guys, he's worked with professionals. And so Jervon Dexter worked with him, brought his teammates down to Florida too. So he seems to be in fantastic shape.
Yeah, well, I'll add two things because he actually, when we spoke to Jervon Dexter, he shared with us that he's bigger. He actually added muscle, so not only did he not lose weight or lose size,
he is carrying it very well.
Oh my God! Like it stood out to the point where finally somebody in the group of reporters was like, "Did you put on?" Yep,
Yes, I did. He was like, thank you for noticing. Sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah, because weren't there some like initial questions about, like he was getting, you mentioned him getting smaller, but there did DA get a couple questions about him possibly moving out to edge rusher at points?
In Dennis Allen defenses, he has had bigger defensive ends at times. So could I see Javon Dexter doing that? Perhaps, but he's been a defensive tackle, far as I know, throughout his entire football career. And for the Bears right now, my impression is that's where he's going to stay for the moment. But could he pop out to end on occasion? He seems to have the movement skills to do it.
And what is your problem with Ruben Hippolyte?
I don't know why they felt the need to draft him as high as they did. Love him as a person. Love him as an athlete. His professionalism shined throughout his time at Maryland. They drafted him in a spot where that's a guy you're hoping is going to be maybe a defensive contributor, perhaps this season, if not in the not-too-distant future here. It just feels like they took him in a spot that's the expectation for that slot. And maybe it's that. Maybe that's what he becomes, but that's not, frankly, what he showed in college. What I saw in college was a guy who doesn't necessarily have the most natural nose for playmaking and a gift for tracking the football, like tackles for loss, yes, interceptions. Those aren't things he did a bunch of in college. He was the seminal leader, showed up ready to work every day, helped Maryland's defense get better and better. But he strikes me as a guy who's going to be like core special teamer right away. Sure, but big playmaker in the Bears defense. It feels like, you know, mid-round pick is what you would hope he becomes, and I don't see that anytime soon.
Interesting. I mean, I think about some of the guys that the Bears have drafted in the middle. Like, they've had relative success with guys like Jack Sanborn, who actually was not drafted at all.
Right, yeah.
Nick Kwiatkowski, wasn't he a fourth or fifth-round pick, something like that? Yeah, he went on to get a contract with Las Vegas.
And immediately, like, led the Bears in tackles, I think, very early in his career before they drafted Roquan, and then Roquan took his job. But, yeah, he showed he's a good football player right away. Ruben Hippolyte, if he was an undrafted free agent, could I see him doing the Sanborn thing? Sure, but you know, they drafted him in what, fourth round?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a little rich.
Interesting. Because then I think about a guy too, a more recent vintage, Joel Uibuniwe. Shame on me.
Oh, you're usually very good with that name.
I know. God. But you know what I'm talking about. Number 45.
Yeah.
For the Chicago Bears.
Uibuniwe, I think, right?
Uibuniwe. God. Yeah. So he was a linebacker as well, drafted, I believe, fourth or fifth round, very valuable on special teams, but never really got there as a linebacker. Just to sum it up, what you're saying is to be valuable, Ruben Hippolyte being drafted fourth has to be a contributor as a linebacker for the Bears, and you can't just be special teams and depth at linebacker. That's a waste, you think?
If we assume health for the Bears linebacker position, TJ Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds, if we assume health for them, you're still going to need a third linebacker who's a real part of that rotation. It does say something to me about Noah Sewell, for how they view Noah Sewell, because he hasn't developed yet. He's just been a core special, and he just became a core special teams guy really last season when healthy. So Ruben Hippolyte, I guess, competes with him to maybe be that third real linebacker who's a part of the Bears defense. And I don't know. Like, if that's who you're using there, I'm not sure that there's a lot of production that I expect early from him in that position.
Others have other questions before I pivot to my big question. Have you more for their football guy?
Yeah, we can go another round here, I think. Yeah, why not? Dan's killing it.
Right.
He's showing everyone why he's the football guy among hosts.
I'm overwhelmed. I couldn't have done that.
To the offensive side, a guy we talked about with Mr. Butt last hour.
You said it.
Roshon Johnson last year had like half the production as he did in his rookie year. Yeah. And this guy, when they drafted him, he was supposed to be like a culture setter. I know it's hard to set the culture when you're not in there. And they, you know, he was the governor. Hey, governor. Like, this is a guy they truly.
Hi, it's Dave.
Yeah. They truly loved this guy coming out. And then he just kind of just not out there enough. Where does he fit this year? And is he going to become a victim of like, well, he's not Ben Johnson's guy, so he just doesn't really fit here. I when he's out there, I do love the way he runs. Maybe there's no longevity in running like that, but where do you see Roshon Johnson fitting this
year? We're doing Not My Guy Radio.
Kyle. Not my guy, sports.
He runs with so much passion. So it's invigorating to watch him carry the football because he looks like he's wanting to put a hurting on somebody. He looks angry.
And I like the balance.
He's got the rock.
Like, I remember, you know, the Super Bowl Bears with Thomas Jones and Cedric Benson, two different styles.
Yeah.
You wear a team down and you got the speed guy. Like, I love that style in an offense. Yeah. I know it's kind of outdated to think of things that way, but I like wearing the other team down a little bit.
Thunder and lightning, baby.
It would just be nice if when he got the football and he broke that first tackle that he actually gained yards afterwards. It's like he breaks a tackle and then he immediately gets tackled by somebody else. So for him, like, his role as a running back, unless he becomes someone who's kind of your third team running back and becomes a really valuable special teamer, then maybe that's what he is. But right now he hasn't shown himself to be a true playmaker. In short yardage, when he was in that role last year, he was really effective on third and one. He's really good at third and one. Aside from that, I don't know what else Roschon Johnson really gives to the Bears offense.
What is it that you do?
Yeah, I mean, he moves the chains on third and one. I'm not saying there's not value in that, but there was a lot of talk about it, especially because there was this swing against DeAndre Swift, because I think a lot of folks didn't realize what the Bears got. The Bears probably didn't realize what the Bears got either. And a lot of folks were trying to figure out, should Roschon be getting the ball more? Just like when Khalil Herbert was here and folks were trying to figure out, should he be getting the ball instead of David Montgomery? Roschon Johnson isn't a playmaker. And I love the attitude. I love what he seems to bring to the table every single day. Hopefully he develops into more than what he's been so far. But up to this point, if that ends up being your number two back that you're counting on, there's a lot of limitations to what he does when you actually give him the football.
It's been a long time, now that you're saying that, it's been a long time since the Bears have had a playmaker running back. And people want it, like, people will say David Montgomery.
Tariq Cohen was, like, wasn't it?
That's
was
pretty
it
good
Montgomery
answer.
That Tariq Cohen that, was like, paired like, with?
And by the way, Montgomery, not somebody that I would consider good running back for the Bears. Mm-hmm. I never looked at David Montgomery as a playmaker, like, as a guy. I mean, solid running back.
Yeah.
Talk about a different category. Uh-huh. A weapon, a guy that makes a difference.
Okay, like a Matt Forte, Pro Bowl type of
back.
So
I think you're right, though. I think it's Tariq Cohen. I think that's the answer right there.
Oh, like, well, see, and even I was the category I thought you were going with was who's someone that they've paired with the quality starting back.
Now I'm doing a different exercise.
Oh, yeah, because Tariq Cohen wasn't some amazing running back. Like, he was a playmaker in space.
He had home
DeAndre
run hitting
DeAndre Swift
ability.
Is a playmaker in space. That's what he's always been, though.
Mm-hmm.
DeAndre Swift has always been the playmaker in space guy. For whatever reason, the Bears didn't realize that at first, and then they figured it out last season. I didn't have any issue with what we saw from DeAndre Swift because I felt like I understood what he was when the Bears signed him.
Wow.
It seemed like the Bears didn't fully understand that.
Saying, yeah.
And now you pair somebody else with Swift, this can work just fine because he is an exceptional playmaker in space. You get him in space, we're good. That's my curiosity for Ben Johnson's offensive eye and his wizardry is how DeAndre Swift is cast in here, because in Detroit, you know, he seemed to fall out of favor with Ben Johnson. One of the frustrations with DeAndre Swift has been those same short yardage scenarios that Roschon Johnson excels in. But right now, third and one, like I mentioned, that's the only thing Roschon Johnson really excels in. Would like to see more than that from him to really feel like the Bears have something there.
Mr. Kuhn, did you have a final question?
I do.
Big Ant.
So everybody is talking about the left tackle position, right, on the offensive line, but I want to go to the right guard position.
Ooh,
because Jonah Jackson has missed 22 games the last three seasons. Now, this is a guy that is a Pro Bowl type talent when he is healthy, but the Bears did not bring back Matt Pryor in a whole lot of depth at the guard position. So what do you think about Jonah Jackson?
As odd as it sounds, Ryan Bates still being around, that does give me some comfort there, because it wasn't too long ago when Ryan Bates was the coveted guy that Ryan Poles was hoping would become his starting interior offensive lineman, whether at guard or center or something, just somewhere there near the football. Now the good thing is they brought in guys who are definitively better than Ryan Bates, and so he gets to be kind of your movable chess piece on the interior of the O-line. That, to me, makes for a strong unit, because he's going to have to get snaps at some point. When he was out there last season, he's playing with one arm really quickly. So a healthy Ryan Bates as your backup swing interior O-lineman, that's actually a pretty good spot for the Bears to be in. Hopefully that depth won't end up getting tested so much that you have to go, you know, kind of take multiple bites at that apple. But I think that's a really strong role to have a guy the caliber of Ryan Bates, where you're not saying you got to be our starting guy, but you get that as a backup who could maybe go and swing in multiple spots here. I think you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, actually, you're right. And we've been talking about that on Take the North lately, the podcast I host with Dan Wiederer about, because we're like, look at the offense. Like, it looks like it could be the starting five should be better, but then we got to the question of depth. Dan was pretty down on the depth, but I feel like once you know who you have and you know who you have healthy, as, and let's just say it's Braxton Jones, then all of a sudden you do have some pretty nice, I would think, you would think in theory, with Amagaji, who hopefully will have continue to have a full preseason of work and get closer
that
to where
he didn't have last year.
Not have last year, to where he will work his way. Hopefully Ozzy Trapillo is right on the heels of Braxton Jones. So right there you have two guys who maybe in theory could play both of your tackle spots. Ryan Bates on the inside, it's pretty nice. They did draft, and sometimes I still have to look, Luke Newman in the sixth round. I don't know what one expects out of him right there. Doug Kramer looks pretty good on the inside as well. So as I go through it, I feel like it's not where it should be, but I feel pretty decent about
it's better
than it was last year, even though Ryan Pohl said it was historically good last year.
Oh, it's so much better than last year
with
actual proven commodities there. And even at left tackle, Trapillo, Amagaji, we were talking about both of them. Karan Amagaji, it confounds me. Of many things that confounded me about the Bears last season, a guy who had no offseason, wasn't even healthy into early in the year, and to get his first career start, to get that action on the road in one of the more hostile environments in football, yes, out of the 60-some snaps that you play in a football game, there was a lot where he looked like a turnstile, but then there was also, you know, a couple of plays here and there where you could see him holding up one-on-one when they left him on an island. There's physical ability there with Karan Amagaji. We got that first and what ended up being that only look, and yeah, you kind of hung the young man out to dry, but there's some skill there that has the potential to be developed for Amagaji.
Oh my God, you are so... The Scores Football guy. That was so
good. Well, thank you.
No, that was really good.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
He, of course, covers the Bears for The Athletic. Kevin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. You know, I also prefer grinding tape to caviar.
Yeah, that's good. But you're that kind of guy, Kevin. Now you show up to when you work.
I think tape is delicious. who am I? In the off season, I used to read different books. I would always try to improve myself. I used to try to come up with different ideas and different things when I was a younger, hungry journalist. And I remember one time reading a book about from Alex Haley, the guy who wrote Roots. He wrote a book about writing and how to get things from sources, etc. He had a thing in there.
Self-improvement
type thing.
Makes sense.
But he had a thing in there about how, you know, he used to, when he was interviewing someone, he would go back and he would talk to like a grammar school coach or a grammar school teacher and then get some information. And then when he was talking to the person for the first time, and this was when he was a reporter, he would say, "Hey, I talked to Mr. Schwancy from sixth grade, and Miss Clancy said this," and the person, you would watch them kind of melt as you talked about some influential person earlier in their childhood, and that you could break through somehow with people that way. And I've done it as a sports writer, and it was always fairly successful. So I think there's ways of getting better by breaking down tape if you're Ben Johnson.
First of all, Mully, you're giving away my reporting secrets. I love a good grammar school teacher interview. I will say, as far as books go, once you started that story, I started worrying about what was the year that Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky all read the same book, like the whole Ryan Pace gave everybody some leadership book, and we thought that was going to be the thing that would help the whole team take off. But like, I mean,
Football for Dummies.
I will say this: we haven't heard. There haven't been many gimmicks.
There haven't been
this spring.
That's good.
It's been football. It's been straight football, and it doesn't mean we won't get the motivational speakers or the
right
or the book club or, you know, maybe a ping pong table in the locker room. I don't know if they'll do that, but you always hear about those things when it comes to football teams and camaraderie and whatnot. But Ben Johnson's just about ball. I mean, he has a good mix of just being serious with us, but also, you know, cracking a joke here and there. And these practices, I know, you know, it's funny last week, guys. I know there was the day that they were throwing some passes to offensive linemen. You know, it took 5 minutes.
Right.
And I immediately saw some readers on our website complaining, you know, this is not what they're supposed to be doing this time of year. You know, this, what are they doing goofing around? Ooh. It's okay to mix that in. But I think that it's been a pretty refreshing setup that Ben Johnson's had for OTAs and minicamp.
Well, Kevin, as you point out, he's a football coach, and football coaches have little tolerance for players who aren't available. And I wonder if you interpreted yesterday's message from Ben Johnson as we did. It seemed like it was a direct address to Luther Burden III, who has been unavailable for most of the offseason workout portion of the practice time, and the soft tissue injury, which has kept him from being available. How surprised were you that Ben Johnson was that direct, or is that what you're coming to expect from him?
Yeah, that was candid. I mean, that was like he wasn't afraid to vent his frustration, because talk about a guy that you'd love to have out there. So it's hard, David, to know if that's just Ben Johnson is just frustrated about something that neither of those guys can control. Or do we find out down the line that, you know, this is a lingering soft tissue thing that they're worried about is going to be a problem for Luther Burden throughout his career? We have no idea at this point. But, yeah, I think this is somebody that values practice reps. I know the big story yesterday was that Caleb Williams was there, and I think Caleb deserves a lot of credit for that. It wouldn't surprise any of us if Ben Johnson was like, "No, we need you there. Like, you have to be there."
Right.
And he knows that for Luther Burden, if this is someone who's going to step in and be the slot receiver, and on day one from what they want to be an explosive offense, it doesn't help that he just missed a month of practice. I'm going to use Karan Amagaji as an example. I'm not comparing the two players, but Karan Amagaji's career might have looked a lot different if he was able to participate in spring practices last year and summer practices last year. Who knows? Like, you need those guys, you need those rookies out there to get those reps. So maybe it is a footnote in Luther Burden's career that we forget about once he's out there catching passes and racking up the yak. But for right now, if you're Ben Johnson, you want Luther Burden on the field.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Kevin, when I read your story this morning, I appreciated the angle that you took, because obviously, hey, you know, Caleb Williams is there. We know he's in town because he went to the tight end's wedding over the weekend, Cole Kmet's wedding. So that's great. And it's great that he's there along with Austin Reed. But Rome Odunze had said he was going to be there. We knew that. What I found fascinating is the guys you list off. There's like 40 people that are there. Josh Blackwell, the corner. Elijah Hicks. You might need a lot of Elijah Hicks this year, the safety. Zach Pickens is in a battle to make this football team, the defensive tackle. I think it's a good thing that he showed up at this portion of the voluntary, again, mini camp. Doug Kramer is there. That's smart on his part. Bill Murray, and you mentioned Amagaji. Those are people that aren't necessarily required to be there, but if you want to get playing time, if you want to be a part of that is a great thing. FaceTime with coaches. Smart of them to turn up.
Yeah, it made a lot of sense for all those guys. Pickens and Hicks specifically had missed time earlier in the spring for injuries. So for them, you know, they were healthy. It's like, well, do you go home for the summer or do you show your coaches what you can do for a couple of days? Because both those guys are going to be battling for roster spots. Right. You know, last year they did the same thing where they did the veteran mini camp a week early, and the last set of OTAs was for rookies. And last year, it really was just the rookies. I don't remember anybody outside, maybe a couple first-year practice squad guys who are out there. So to have even somebody of the caliber of Josh Blackwell, who just signed a contract extension, out there, I think that's a good sign for what they're building here. And yeah, for those players, I think it's been drilled into their minds, like, hey, if you think you need the reps, like, get them. This is a new scheme. You need to know what you're going to be doing when training camp gets started, because there's not going to be a lot of patience. There's not going to be a lot of time to get moving. But you mentioned, again, we're talking about bottom of the depth chart guys, Bill Murray, Doug Kramer, me fighting for that final interior backup spot. I know David has his depth chart up on a whiteboard up in his office where he's moving Zach Pickens around to see how he can make the roster. But, you know, unfortunately for Zach Pickens, injuries have really hurt his career. And you talk about, you know, we talk about these Ryan Poles third-round picks. That's another one that just, at this point, hasn't really panned out.
Kevin, yesterday, J.K. Dobbins agreed to terms with the Broncos the day after Nick Chubb joined the Texans. Both signed one-year contracts for $5.5 million, essentially. That's not a lot of money for a veteran running back that might help a team out in the ground game. I'm a little surprised the Bears weren't in on either guy, or if they were, they didn't make it real competitive, because that's not a real expensive price to pay for depth at a key position. Why do you think they stayed away, and do you look at that as a vote of confidence for Kyle Manungai?
It could be Manungai, David. It could also just be DeAndre Swift. I mean, they paid DeAndre Swift a lot of money. Yep. They owe him a lot of money this year. This is somebody who, if you go back and look at the games the Bears won last year, and shoot, even the Washington game that they should have won, he made big plays in those games. And obviously, when you look at the other free agent running backs from that class, they were all a lot better than DeAndre Swift. And Swift was the first one to acknowledge that it was not the year he was hoping for. But I wonder if they just feel like with Ben Johnson that there is, that like they can get more out of Swift, and they can also, to bring in Manungai, better compliment him with Manungai. And they've talked openly about Roschon Johnson just not being used properly last year. He's battled injuries. If he can stay on the field, maybe he's a better fit, or they utilize him better, that being Eric Bieniemy and Declan Doyle and Ben Johnson. So, you know, it could be all those guys that they just feel better about. So, I thought J.K. Dobbins would have been in that tier, David, of the type of running back they'd feel comfortable bringing in. I think Kenneth Walker's still available if they want to go that route. But it's been this long. You just kind of wonder if they're just okay with who they have as those top three.
I got to be honest with you. It surprised me that they didn't pursue anybody, or that, like, I got a hard time imagining them going into training camp with the running back room as it currently is constituted. I feel like they're short a player at that position.
Well, if they bring in somebody right now of that level, you know, I guess the question is skill set. What's he going to do for you? Who's he going to kind of replace? Who is he going to take carries away from? You know, because Roschon Johnson's kind of a unique guy, and he does a lot of special teams work. He doesn't need to be the number two back. So do you want a bruiser? Do you want somebody who can be in between the tackles? And I will say this, guys, in kind of in agreement with both of you about the running back position, for a team that was, you know, apparently very interested in Ashton Jeanchi, very yes. interested in Travion Henderson,
yes.
to go from very interested in those guys and then not bring in anybody else except for a seventh-round pick, I get it. I think there is a little bit of a question mark there. There's a disconnect, because if you show that interest, it's going to make everyone think, well, you got the clearly you need to add somebody at some point before late July. And look, that late July is sometimes when you see those veterans added. So I'm not going to rule it out. But if we're just going to look at right now and what they've done, you're thinking, okay, maybe they feel better about Swift and Roschon Johnson than we think they did.
Kevin, this guy could be the most ridiculous thing I say all morning, but it's early. Ozzie Chipillo looks more equipped to handle the left tackle spot, having grown a beard that thick, that fast. And he looks like a grizzled veteran now. And he also talks like one. But I think that in all seriousness, the Bears seem to trust his ability to learn fast and maybe step in and compete with Braxton Jones. How surprised would you be if Ozzie Chipillo emerges as the starting left tackle?
I did have to go back, David, to make sure that beard was new, and it was. And it wouldn't surprise me if the guys heard a lot about him having this baby face, you know, and being like, right. All right, I'm an NFL player. I need to show these guys that I can man up and join the crew. Like it would not surprise me if he's day one starting left tackle. He is this coaching staff's pick, you know, this GM's pick, obviously, in the second round. So they have to feel good about him being a left tackle down the line. I don't want to completely rule out Braxton Jones. I think it's fair to see what he can do. You know, I liken Braxton Jones sometimes to what Charles Leno was for this team when Leno was at his best. And I think when Braxton Jones has been healthy, he's been consistent. He doesn't. He's not a guy. He's not obviously a Pro Bowler, but he's also not somebody you really have to worry about at times over there. So, like, again, I don't want to just completely say he's out, but you know, you guys know the best ability is availability, and Ozzie Chipillo just got a full set of OTAs and minicamp to show what he can do, albeit without pads. But Braxton Jones, without pads a couple summers ago, showed this coaching staff that he was worthy of being the starting left tackle. Like, in OTAs, he showed that. So it's not like under this GM, under this personnel staff, a guy has come in, a rookie, and shown enough without pads to earn that spot. So obviously we want to see what happens when Jones comes back and what Chipillo looks like when the pads come on. These guys can bull rush him and all those things. But from a technique standpoint, from the way he handles things, the maturity level, he seems to be a lot of what you want out of that position.
Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying. I also think, looking at Ozzie Chipillo, he does not look like the kind of guy that will disappear when the pads come on. It looks like he's already fairly half giant, and you put pads on a guy like that and he's gonna look pretty big and strong, and if he's got the beard going, well, David will run,
look out.
But what about a guy like Ruben Hippolyte? You know, it's always interesting to me when you talk about undersized guys and guys that rely on speed, how good they can look right up to the point where the pads come on, and then some guys can tend to disappear. I'm not saying that's the case with him, but, you know, I forget the name of the dude. Somebody from ESPN said that he was the most highly overtaken player in the draft, that he shouldn't have gone as high as the Bears took him. I know they like him, and I know they like his speed, and I'm sure that will show up when the pads come on, but he does not look like a very imposing figure. How do you think he will be when they finally get the pads on him?
Well, you know, we talked about not adding at running back. You look at the linebacker position.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, behind the top two at Tippelite, it's Noah Sewell, who hasn't been able to stay healthy, and it's Eamon Ogbong-Bamiga. Hope Jeff Joniak was listening to that.
Easy for you to say.
Look at you.
And he's, you know, he can spill in if he needs to on defense, but he's there mainly for special teams, and that's really it. So I mean, that tells you that they, taking Hippolyte in the fourth round tells you what they think about him. Does that mean they're right? We don't know.
Right.
But you know, I think the thing about Hippolyte is, for a while, he looks like just your classic college linebacker that racks up a lot of stats, makes a lot of big, good plays, but he just doesn't have the size to catch the eye of NFL teams. And then he runs that 40. And you know, look, our draft analyst, Dane Brugler, kind of admitted, like, if that pro day was at a different time, or if Hippolyte did that at the combine, like, he would have had a different ranking in our draft guide, instead of being a guy who was way, way, way down the ranks. So I'm very interested to see what he looks like, as you said, Molly, when the pads come on. But he did have that kind of reputation in Maryland of still being a thumper, even though he was just kind of a speed guy. I think it's going to be a size question, but you know he's going to run with players. You know, the thing with the guy Ruben Hippolyte is you don't have to worry about him until you have to worry about him, right? Like, as long as Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards stay healthy, you know, Hippolyte's not going to be on the field very much.
Right.
But you still need that guy if he's going to be your starting Sam, to be somebody that you can depend on and rely on. And obviously, as Ben Johnson said, it looks like Hippolyte's gone off to a good start.
Kevin, 30 seconds. As the Bears depart and won't reconvene until training camp, who's the backup quarterback?
Man, I'll go Tyson Bagent, David. I am not one to doubt that guy. You put him in a competition – And I think he's going to go after that job and still find a way to win it. It's a great problem to have between his skill set and Keenum's experience. But shoot, I mean, I think that guy has proved a lot of doubters wrong since he got into the NFL. And at this point, at this juncture, I'll still say that Bajan wins that job.
Great stuff.
Yep. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it, buddy.
Take care, guys.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Was there anything subtle about the way Ben Johnson said this yesterday regarding Luther Burden III missing time with a soft tissue injury?
I mean, anytime you're not out there, if you're in the training room when the rest of the guys are practicing, you're losing valuable time. Valuable time with your coaches, valuable reps with your teammates, the ability to build the trust that we're talking about. It's not just the coaching staff having trust in you doing the right thing over and over, but it's also your teammates.
So, is there something up? Was Ben Johnson being very direct? Was he being a little indirect? But your teammates, do you think the teammates noticed that Luther Burden's not around?
I think Ben Johnson was at the podium in the Bears media room with a room full of reporters hanging on his every word, but that was not his intended audience. That was really an audience of one, maybe 90 or however many players are in the locker room. But I think really it seemed like that was a targeted message to a guy who hasn't been on the field. And Luther Burden III has been a guy we have seen more of on TikTok than we have on the practice field. And so I do wonder if that was something that Ben Johnson... I don't have to wonder. No, I know it seemed like there was nothing subtle about it. That was direct. Availability is the biggest ability. And Luther Burden III was drafted in the second round for a reason. A soft tissue injury. Does anybody know when that happened? Does anybody know how that happened? I just know that it happened. And it's taking a while to come back from that. So longer than the Bears, I think, would have liked based on his tone. And what I like about Ben Johnson is he communicates with tone. And I don't think that anything is accidental. Everything that we heard yesterday was intentional, and it was succinct, and it was direct. And I think that the Bears players should hear it loud and clear.
Well, I believe it happened in the initial, going back to early May, the first rookie weekend up at Hallis Hall is when this first kind of went down.
That's the first time he fell on the ball or whatever, but I'm not sure that's this issue.
Yeah, that we don't know specifically, right? But anyway, you know, what bothers me, and we've talked about it in the pick six, question number five about Colston Loveland. Now you have your first pick
who really hasn't done anything. But I guess my question is he like sitting in the trainer's room? Is he like in the tub? Is he getting massages and not out at the practice field? Like Loveland, we've at least seen him wearing like shells and getting his hand in the dirt, if you will, and getting in a stance and at least listening. I'm just saying, why is he picking, if you want to, if we're agreeing on that, he's kind of picking on the receiver, but he's singing the praises of the tight end. And I wonder what's the difference between
surgery?
Those two things.
Surgery. I think Colson Loveland had surgery.
You know, I think also we talked to Colson Loveland, and not only did he have surgery, he said he would have had it earlier if he had known that he needed it. So he didn't have the surgery. He played the whole year hurt, and we asked him about the idea. You see him on tape wincing. He's like, I mean, he was hurting, and he played. And then had it taken care of after the fact. So that is a totally different situation. God, coaches hate when guys get hurt. It's just as simple as that. And you know, the idea of whether you're hurt or you're injured, I think that's what Dustin is driving at. The idea, a soft tissue injury. Coaches despise that kind of thing. I think it's very revealing about the coach and the way that he expects players to be available and the demands that he makes on them. That's real football coach stuff. That is not just some kind of, you know, oh, I can make a great play and look, I got the offensive lineman running routes. You better stay healthy and you better stay on his good side. It doesn't like injuries. I don't know how seriously injured Luther Burden III is, but this is damaging his career with the Bears, and this is damaging his spot. I'm not saying that they would ever not. I was there for all of the celebration when they drafted him.
It's not a good way to start.
It's not good. No, it's not.
And it's interesting because, yes, if he's picking on him a little bit or targeting him in this case, it's a rookie. How will this be handled the first time we have a veteran who might be out longer than maybe the head coach thinks he should be out?
Well, I don't think you mess around with stuff.
I don't
like
think
that,
you do.
You know, I mean,
I like the fact that he's level setting here. You know, you got a coach who's definitely establishing himself as somebody who doesn't have a lot of patience for guys who aren't quick healers.
Yeah. You need the recuperative powers of a professional wrestler, Mr. Davis.
You might. And that may sound a little bit unreasonable to some people, but this is kind of a glimpse into how football coaches think. Football coaches tend to expect soft tissue injuries to heal quicker than sometimes they do. And everybody's got a threshold. And I just what we heard yesterday makes you wonder where Luther Burden III is.
It's a legitimate question that the coach raised, and I agree with you. There's kind of an audience of one there when he was talking about that. I don't think that was a message to the media.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last.
Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.